much. Take the Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 8. Genesis, chapter 8. Blesses my heart to see a husband and wife singing together. That's a blessing. I feel sorry for Katie, there's no doubt about it. Yes. Genesis chapter 8, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. I don't want our church to ever take for granted the last two services that we've had. And maybe you haven't felt the presence of the Lord like I have, but I felt it in a very real way the last two services. We know the Lord lives inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and praise God for that. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always with us. But every now and then, He manifests that presence where you can feel Him just sweeping by. And it's a great thing when you feel the Lord's presence among you. I tell you, I don't know what the Lord's doing with me. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the winds of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. If you notice in verse number 1, the Bible says the waters assuaged. Verse number 2 says the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. In verse number 3, it says the waters returned from off the earth continually. And the latter phrase, the waters were abated. Now, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark those phrases. The water assuaged, the windows of heaven were stopped, the waters were abated. And tonight I preach to you on this subject, when the waters stopped. When the waters stopped. Now we're in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. And we've come to chapter 8, and this message will take us all the way through chapter 9 and verse number 17, again, when the waters stop. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray, our Lord, that you help us to be drawn heavenward in our minds, in our thoughts, in our actions. I pray that you'll speak to us. We never want to take for granted, Lord, when we feel your presence, just come on the scene. And I pray that you'll help me to preach this message. It's a very simple thought, and I know that, Lord. But I praise you that you've wrapped yourself in simple truth. Fill us with thy power tonight. May you help us to feel your sweet presence again in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, the Lord had visited with Noah and told him that he was going to send a worldwide flood to destroy all of life not found on the ark. Now Noah believed the word of the Lord and worked by faith to build the ark to the saving of his house. God called Noah and his family to come into the ark. And when they did, the Bible tells us that God shut them in. The rain began to fall, and the world that then was perished under the mighty judgment of our righteous God. However, our text tells us that God remembered Noah. This is a blessed statement in the Word of God, that the Lord did not forget about those on the inside. He remembered Noah, remembered his sons, remembered his wife, remembered all the animals. What a wonderful thought to think that when judgment is falling, God remembers His own. And I'm telling you that in Psalm 136:23, the Bible says, "Who remembered us in our lowest state, for His mercy endureth forever." He remembered His promises to Noah, and He was going to keep those promises. The waters of His judgment were stopped and began to recede and go down lower and lower. And the Bible tells us in chapter 8 that the ark finally came to rest on Mount Ararat, which has been said to be 16,000 feet high. I think that refutes just a local flood right there, friends. And after 40 days, the Bible says Noah opened the window. And this is where we're going to focus our attention. When Noah opened the window and the waters were stopped, there are three things we see. When the waters stop, we see, actually four things we see. Number one, we see the birds. Now, this message is so simple, it's ridiculous. Matter of fact, all my messages are simple because I can't get hard if I tried, I don't think. But the fact is, the Lord has wrapped himself up into simple truth. Aren't you glad God has simplified things for us? Now, I'm telling you, if he's called me to preach, then I'm telling you, you can understand the Bible, because if he's called me to spend the rest of my days telling others what he said, then I'm telling you, his standard's not very high, friends. And I'm letting you know tonight that this message is so simple it's ridiculous, but it'll change your life. When the waters stop, first of all, we see the birds. Look at chapter 8, verse number 7. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Now we see in these verses, after Noah opened the window, that he sent forth two birds. He sent a raven and he sent a dove. Now the raven went to and fro until the waters were dried from the earth. Some people think that that means that he went out and then he came back, and went out and came back. Fact is, we don't know what that means exactly. But we know that the Bible says he went to and fro until the waters were dried from the earth. However, on the other hand, the dove he sent out, the Bible plainly says, she found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she came back to the ark where Noah put forth his hand and pulled her into the ark unto himself. Noah then waited 7 days and sent the dove back out again. The dove brought an olive leaf back this time to show that the waters were getting lower and getting lower. Noah again waited 7 days and sent the dove back out again, but this time the dove did not return. Then Noah knew that the waters were all dried up. And in this story of these two birds, we can learn a great lesson. As we consider these birds, we see the dove was brought back into the ark after not finding rest for her foot, while the raven is said just to go to and fro until the waters dried up again. Some people think that this means the raven never came back to the ark, while others believe that the raven never entered the ark again, but just came and rested on the top of it to rest and then went right back out. Some people think that this raven, because a raven feeds on dead bodies, thinks that this raven just found a dead body floating and just rested on it and fed on it until the waters were abated. The fact is, nobody knows. But we do know that God made a differentiation here between this raven and this dove. He did not say the raven ever came back into the ark. He said the dove did. Now I'm telling you, we're learning something here. That no matter what literally happened, we know that the raven, now get this, we know that the raven is a bird that is considered unclean and is allured by the dead carcasses and smell of dead flesh. It can eat off of dead bodies and be satisfied. The dove, on the other hand, is considered a clean bird that finds no rest on polluted things. See, it's been said that these two birds are a type of the two natures found in a child of God. May I remind you that the raven and the dove were found inside the ark. The old nature that feasts on things of the world, and the new nature that finds no rest in the things of this condemned world. And no matter what the raven actually did, this is a lesson we can learn here, that the ark did not change the nature of the raven. It still wanted to feast on the dead carcasses of the condemned world. The dove refused to even put its foot down on this condemned world and attach itself to any dead body. It was only satisfied with the things of the new creation. My friends, a child of God, listen to me, you need to learn this lesson. That even though you are on the ark, you are still in the flesh. And I'm telling you that inside every child of God is a dove, the blessed Holy Spirit, and is a raven that's trying to get out and feast on the things of this condemned earth. Now, I want to tell you something. The dove is only satisfied with the things above, while the raven is satisfied with the things below. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In Romans chapter 7, don't turn to it, but listen to what Paul said in verse 18 and following. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. May I tell you something, folks? I'm glad I'm not going to be compared to the Apostle Paul. And Paul himself said this, I find a law in me, and here's what I find. When I want to do something good, evil's right around the corner. When I want to do that, I catch myself doing that. And when I don't want to do that, I catch myself doing it anyway. This is a lesson we learned from Noah's Ark. There's an interesting thing that Noah just didn't send the dove out. God made it to where he sent the raven out. And God made it to where he did not say about the raven, he came back and found rest in the ark. And I'm telling you that the raven is unclean and feeds on dead things. And may I say that if you feed on the things of this world, it is dead things and it will not satisfy you. We need to be sensitive to the heavenly dove. And we need to be satisfied with the things above instead of the things below. Number one, we see when the waters were stopped, we see the birds. But number two, when the waters were stopped, we see the burnt offerings. Look at chapter 8, verse number 20 and following. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. That explains why the Lord told him to take two of every unclean animal, but seven of every clean animal. Because he was going to be offering burnt offerings at this time. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart's evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. By the way, he's kept that word right there, friends. I mean, summer, winter, fall, and spring come around as the clock turns forward because God said that it was going to keep on going like that. And I'm telling you, the second thing we noticed when the water stopped was not only the birds, but we noticed the burnt offerings. You know, a careful study of the Word of God shows that Noah and those with him spent over 1 year inside on board the ark. Can you imagine that? And not one of them perished in the judgment of God. Not one on the inside suffered the judgment of God on the outside. And I'm telling you that we see once the waters were dried up, that God told Noah to come off the ark. We see this in verses 15 following. Matter of fact, let's just read it because look at this. God said unto Noah, verse 15, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both the fowl and cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds went forth out of the ark. Look back up at verse number 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Can you imagine the excitement at this time? I mean, it was safe and secure inside the ark, but I'm telling you, the day that the earth dried up and the dove didn't come back and God spoke to him and said, open the door, let's go outside. It's time to get off the ark. What a blessed day that must have been. He told him of his assurance right here in his protection. And I'm telling you that we see once the waters were dried up that God told Noah to come off the ark with his family and the animals. Can't you just imagine this scene as Noah, his family, and the animals stepped off the ark after such a long time? Can't you just imagine him being cooped up, if you will, for over a year? And I'm telling you, some people say it must have been miserable inside that ark. I don't agree with that statement. I know it must not have smelt too good, but I know this, he was safe from the judging hand of God, and I do not believe that God's going to provide something where they're just jammed in like this with no comfort. I promise you, they had a pretty good time on the inside of that ark, friends. But there came a day when the waters dried up, and Noah took the covering off, and he opened it up, and they saw the ground for the first time in over a year. And while Noah and his family and the animals could have done so many things at this time, can't you just imagine his boys and their wives? Can't you just imagine maybe the excitement of coming out? No doubt they wanted to run that way and do that and do this and do this. Hey, let's do this. Not been able to do this in a long time. Hey, come on, let's do this. Let's play that game. Let's go this place. Let's do this. But not Noah. Not Noah. The first thing Noah did was he built an ark, an altar. The Bible says he built the altar unto the Lord. And then he took of every clean beast and every clean bird and he began to offer burnt offerings on the altar. This tells us, again, about the seven clean animals that were brought on the ark. And in this we see Noah was showing his recognition that he was a sinner. You study the burnt offerings in the Old Testament. It was somebody recognizing their sin and that what was happening to the burnt offering is what they understood needed to happen to them. He was recognizing he was a sinner who deserved to be consumed. It was Noah showing gratitude for God's sparing mercy. It was recognition of the need for pardoning grace. See, my friends, Noah was taking time here to put God first. And Noah built an altar before he ever built a house. Now think about it. Somebody, can't you just imagine? Somebody coming out and say, okay, let's get started on our home. Let's start cutting down trees, all these kind of things. Let's start building our house. But not Noah. Noah said, no, first, let's build an altar and let's remember what God did for us. Let's build an altar and let's offer burnt sacrifices and let's put him first. Let's put his business first. Let's put him above our own fleshly desires. You know, in the same way, our first business on this earth is to serve our God. Remember His grace, remember His mercy, and show our gratitude for His sparing us in His judgment. The Bible says when Noah did this in verse number 21, the Bible says the Lord smelled a sweet savor. You know what that means? Basically, what that means is that the Lord smelled it and he liked what he smelled. He was pleased with it. He was appeased. He was satisfied. May I say something? Glory day for Noah. Glory day when Noah steps off and he says, I will not build my house. I will build the altar first. Build it up. And bring the clean animals. Let's offer a burnt sacrifice. Let's thank God for His goodness. Let's recognize that it's only God's mercy while we're still alive. It's only God's grace that we've made it this far. Let's offer these burnt offerings. And he begins to kill these animals and offer them and burn them. And the Bible says the Lord was pleased. May I say something to you? The only thing you and I need to be concerned about is God pleased with our life? If God is pleased, that's all that matters. If He's not, we got problems. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know what that means? That means that this Old Testament sacrifice, these sacrifices of Noah, these burnt offerings where the Lord smelled a sweet savor, they were pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And there came a day when the blessed Lamb of God, the burnt offering of all time, when He was sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary, God the Father smelled it. And He smelled something sweet. You say, what do you mean? You mean his own son? He was pleased? Yes, he was pleased because he was purchasing our salvation and he pleased his Father to appease the wrath of God. So whenever you come to Jesus Christ and you accept Christ into your heart and life, he places you inside. I'm talking about inside the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the body that pleased the Father. Which means that when he smells Christ, if you're saved, he's smelling you. And when God smells you, let me ask you a question. Does he like what he smells? If you're saved, it's a sweet-smelling savor. And I'm telling you that the second thing we see when the waters stop is we see the burnt offerings. 1 John 2:2 says, and he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The idea here, again, I'm just making sure you're with me, is when the water stopped, we see the birds, we see the old nature, the new nature is still alive. Number two, we notice the burnt offerings. And in this burnt offering, we see Noah putting God first, putting his business first, putting his altar above his own house, putting his altar above his own family, putting God above everything, and saying, before we ever get started in this life, this new life, let's just pause a minute and let's thank God just a few minutes here for his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his privilege to be called one of his children. And I'm telling you, that we would do well every day of our life to set aside a time where all we do is go to God and gather our family and say, let's not ask God for anything. Let's just praise him a while for how good he's been to us. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. This is what Noah was doing when he came off the ark. We see the burnt offerings. Number three, when the water stopped, we not only see the birds and the burnt offerings, but number three, we see the blessing. Look at chapter 9 and verse 1 and following. And Noah blessed, and God blessed Noah. There it is, the blessing. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. In other words, drain the blood out of it. Surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. He's instituting the capital punishment here. And whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you be ye fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. You say, Jody, what's that have to do with anything? What it has to do with is God's blessing Noah. God is blessing his family. As a matter of fact, we see that the Bible says God blessed Noah. This word blessed, listen, you know what this word blessed means? It means he saluted him. It means he thanked him. And it means he congratulated him. Don't you want God to salute you? You know, we ought to be saluting God. Amen. But do you understand that there's some things that we can do where God says, boy, I like that. God bless you. You have God saluting you, friends. Things are going to start looking up in your life. I'll guarantee it. And it says this, that he blessed Noah, he thanked Noah, he congratulated. Congratulations, boy. I salute you and thank you for what you're doing. My friends, when the Lord God of heaven salutes you, that's a great day. He told him of his assurance of favor and protection. He told Noah in these verses 1 to 7, that the animals would be afraid of him. And the animals would be meat for him along with all the green things. Now, I can do without the green things, but give me the meat. Pour on the meat, my friends. He goes on to tell him that he was going to require man's blood at the hand of man or animal that takes his life. Friends, let me say this. You may disagree, but if you disagree, you're disagreeing with the Bible. God instituted the capital punishment, my friends. He really did. And we see this capital punishment brought out before the law here, brought out during the law in Numbers 35, and brought out after the law in Acts 25:11, Romans 13:1 4, just in case we have an ultra dispensationalist listening to us tonight. Well, that's before the law. Well, he also said it in Numbers 35. That's during the law. He also brought it out in Acts and Romans. That's after the law. And I'm telling you this, I don't know where you stand on it, but it's been differentiated in Numbers chapter 35 from manslaughter. It's been differentiated from armed combat in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But if somebody in cold-blooded murder goes in and kills somebody, the capital punishment for premeditated murder would cause some of these criminals to think twice, my friends. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not talking about hate in my heart, no way. But God said, if somebody kills another man, premeditated murder, by man shall his blood be required. And I'm telling you, I'm saying these people need Jesus. We know that. We understand that. But God himself said this. And if God said it, that settles it. Makes no difference what we believe on it or not, friends. And all of this we see. That the Lord went on to tell Noah and his sons to be fruitful and multiply. Can I say this to you? The only way that a marriage can be fruitful and multiply is if God blesses it. The Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And God's saying, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And what he's saying is this, I'm going to touch your union. Marriage is undefiled. The bed is undefiled in marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And I'm telling you that God is pleased when a man and a woman, a husband and wife, come together and he blesses that with children. And I'm telling you that children are a blessing, not a curse. We have abortions running rampant in this country. We have people giving away their children. We have children that don't even know their mom and dad. And I'm telling you, that's not pleasing to God. Children are to be loved and cared for by mom and dad who love Jesus preeminently and first and foremost. And I'm telling you that what God is telling Noah here, he's saying, I'm going to bless your life, sir. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. Are you listening to me, friends? Listen just a moment. If God would unleash the animal kingdom on us, we're gone. We're finished. Somebody says, I've got my shotgun. Yeah, but listen, your bullets won't last as long as the animals do, friends. If God would lift off his blessing off of man, the animals would devour us in a matter of days, if not months, if not sooner. God has blessed us. You ever been around an animal? Now, I'm not talking about your mate now. I'm talking about a little animal. Just this afternoon, Jalen was on the back porch with my little niece, Josie, and there was a big old bumblebee. And Jalen had one of these water guns that looks like a pencil. And she's almost scared to death. She had it. She's like, oh, all this kind of stuff. And I went out there and said, listen, all you got to do is just swing at it. I don't want her to do that, you understand. That bumblebee got close. I went, like this. What'd it do? Did it come after me? All this kind of. Now listen, I understand you're thinking, you're crazy. Well, I know that. I understand. But God has put inside the heart of an animal. Don't touch him. Be afraid of him. I was out on visitation. This was when the fair was going on, I think. I got bit by a dog. We were knocking on a door, and my wife was walking on this side, and all of a sudden, I saw the head of what looked like a tractor trailer. Stick his head out from the side of the trailer there, and he's staring me down. So I grabbed my wife and put her on this side, and I said, "Come on, come on, here he come." He got me right here in the back of the leg. I took my hand, and I went pow like this, and I started back down to it, and he was off from me, and he started charging me. So just instinct, I charged him. He's coming after me, and I said, ah! Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? This is so deep. You know what that animal did when I did that? He took off running. Now, if he'd have come after me, that'd have been World War III right there, I guess. But you know what I think back on that now, and I look back at that? I'm going to put into the heart of beast to be afraid of you, Noah. Animal will take you down if it can. You better thank God that God has put it in the heart of animals to be afraid of humans. Now there's coming a day when the lion will lay down with the lamb. Isn't that going to be a great day? But I'm telling you, God's saying, Noah, I'm promising you something here. I'm going to bless your life. By the way, isn't it interesting that when they were on the ark, that God didn't even have to worry about it? But when they stepped off, God said, I'm going to have to put in the heart of man, in the heart of beast, stay away from man. And I'm going to bless your life, Noah. And I want you and your sons, and I want the animals to be fruitful and multiply. Psalm 32, 1 and 2 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 65, 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that it may dwell in thy courts. We should be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Let us just pause and consider just a minute. I'm talking about you as an individual right now. I don't want you to think about anybody else but yourself. Listen to me. Just pause just a minute and consider the blessing of God on your life. Now just think about it. Think about how good God has been to you. I'm talking about blessing you with a family, blessing you with health, blessing you with clothes and a shelter and a home to go back to. There's a song that says, when he walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even the world never contained just how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, changing of leaves. Food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. Arms that can raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, legs that can walk. Ears that can listen, eyes that can see. I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. The chorus says, I've been blessed, God so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. And I'm telling you, the third thing we see when the water stopped is we see the blessing. Friends, I want God's blessing on my life. And I want God's blessing on my family and this church and this ministry. That's all we need when push comes to shove. Then there's a fourth thing, and we end with this. Number one, we notice the birds. Number two, the burnt offerings. Number three, we notice the blessing. But number four, we notice the bow. We see this in chapter 9, verse 18 and following. Verse 8 and following. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the field with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow, there it is, my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that has come upon the earth. See, the fourth thing we see when the water stopped is we see the bow. We see the Lord telling Noah that he was going to establish a covenant with him and with his seed after him. This covenant was also for the animals and for the birds. This covenant involved God's promise that all flesh would never again be cut off all at one time by the waters of a worldwide flood. My friends, this is the reason we know it's a worldwide flood, because there have been people killed in floods. But he's promised never to destroy all living things again by a flood. There would never be another flood to destroy the earth. Then the Lord told Noah that the token of this covenant that he made to never again send a worldwide flood was going to be his bow in the cloud. We know it as the rainbow. God said he would set it in the cloud as a token of this covenant between him and the earth. And the Lord said when the bow appeared in the clouds that he would look upon it and he would remember this covenant right here. And he was going to keep his word. And thank God he has. And every time you go outside, notice a rainbow. Have y'all ever seen a rainbow? Would you raise your hand? Sure you have. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Beautiful thing. And every time you go out and see a rainbow in the sky, let us be reminded. This is what he told Noah that he was going to put as a token in the clouds. He made this covenant many years ago. And there is never again and never will be a worldwide flood. The token of this promise is the bow in the sky, so that many, if not all, have already seen it. You know, let us rejoice in the fact that our God always keeps his promises, friends. The rainbow in the sky is a reminder of this blessed truth, that he always keeps his promises. And you know, it's interesting, I've even done this before, especially when there's a rainbow right outside our home. At least it looks like it's right outside our home. You know, it may be a little bit away, but it looks like it's right there. I remember taking pictures on my cell phone of this one rainbow that we saw. And it looks like the rainbow starts here and finishes here, but friends, the rainbow makes a complete circle. Did you know that? You just can't see it on the earth. You have to see it up above. Amen. The fact of the matter is, I'm reminded whenever I see a rainbow, God said when the bow appears, I'm looking at it. You know, the interesting thought to me is when I see a rainbow, I look at it too because I know I'm looking at the same thing God's looking at that moment. Isn't that precious? I mean, God's looking at it. And he's saying, when I see the bow, I'm just putting it there really for you to see, but I'm just telling you that every time it comes out, I'm looking at it. And the one thing I'm going to remember, my promise to you, Noah. It's never going to happen again. Never going to happen again. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, and the glory of God by us. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, parentheses, for he is faithful that promised. Let me ask you a question. What's he promised you tonight? What's a promise that God has given you? Whatever he's promised, he will keep it whether you believe it or whether you don't. He always keeps his promises. So as we bring this message to a close, in this passage, in God's word, we see several things when the water stops. These things were the birds, and we learn in that the old nature and new nature, the burnt offerings that were to put God first and remember his goodness and praise him for his greatness in our life. We see the blessing and how God blessed man and protected man and has taken care of man and has told man to be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And we see the bow that he promises to never destroy the earth again with a worldwide flood. And he's kept that promise all these years, and he will continue to keep it because God never goes back on his word. Now let me ask you a question. What is it in these 4 points tonight that God is speaking to you about? It might be the birds he has your attention. Maybe you realize that the raven's getting out of you more than the dove is. You're going more after the world than you are the things of God. Or maybe God's speaking to you through the burnt offerings that you've been going off and doing your own thing, and God's saying, wait a minute, what place do I have in your life? Don't forget how good I've been to you. If it was not for me, you'd be burning in hell. Thank me for my goodness in your life. Or maybe it's the blessing and God's just reminded you tonight about how good he's been to you, how blessed you really are. Or maybe tonight it's the bow. Maybe there's a promise that you've been struggling with. And maybe you just need to come and claim it. Or maybe you just need to come and say, God, thank you that you've kept your promise to Noah. Are you listening? Aren't you glad He's not unleashed the waters again, friends? Someday He's going to unleash the fire and He's going to destroy this earth. But glory day, we're not going to be here to see that. We'll be with Him, rejoicing forevermore. So when the water stopped, the birds, the burnt offerings, the blessing, and the bow. And let's do business with the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Help us, I pray. May Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Maybe the Lord is dealing with your heart tonight because you're not safe on the ark of God's protection. We know, as I've already preached in the last message that we were in this last Sunday, I'm talking about all day last Sunday, that the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. If you're in Him, you're safe. If you're outside of Him, the wrath of God abides on you. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, how He bled and died for your sin, was buried and rose again, how He wants to save you. Maybe tonight you're thinking in your own heart, boy, I'm more like the raven than I am the dove. I realize I have those two natures living in me. Let me ask you, your music, your standards, everything about it, the way you think, the way you act, the way you speak, is the raven coming out or is the dove coming out in you? Maybe tonight God's dealing with you about just coming and putting Him first in your life, thanking Him for His goodness. Maybe you just need to come tonight and say, God, thank You that You didn't just bless Noah, You've blessed me. Thank You for my family. Thank You for the life that You've given me. Or maybe there's a promise that you need to rest in, or a promise that you need to claim. Whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it in a great way. Speak to hearts, change lives, challenge us from Your word. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but the mic is singing. If God is speaking to you, would you come? Would you talk to God? Maybe you want to come and just thank the Lord for His blessings as He sings. Won't you come and just say, thank God, thank You for blessing my life. Thank You for my family and how good You've been. I don't want to forget You. Help me not to forget You. What is it the Lord is speaking to you about? What is it God is dealing with you about? Maybe it's the bow that you just need to claim a promise. You need to rest in a promise.
He will save you. He will save you. He will save you.
They're playing through softly. Folks are responding. We appreciate this response. But if you're standing, I'd like you to look here just a moment. You can't hardly see me, most of you, but you can hear my voice. You know what God said to do with that raven every day of your life? Blow its head off. The interesting thing about that raven, it comes back to life. You kill it one day, he'll be flying right back out of you the next day. It's called the flesh, my friends. Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's saying, I have to die. Whosoever therefore mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know what that word mortify means? It means put it to death. You can't toy with it. And I'm telling you, I'm asking God to kill the raven in my life. We all have him. He comes out every now and then. And before you know it, sometimes he starts flying out your mouth, doesn't he? Amen or not, friends? You ever said something that you know is not right? There's that old raven. Woo, here he comes. Flying out. I'm telling you, may God help us to submit to the dove, not the raven. Maybe tonight God's dealing with you about his goodness in your life. Friends, whether you realize it or not, God has blessed you. If nothing else, he's allowed you to be in this country of America. You ought to thank God that you're in America, friends. I know she's not everything she should be, but I'll tell you one thing. I thank God I'm American tonight, and I live in this country that's free. That's a blessing of God. Has God blessed your life? Has he touched you? Hey, if you're saved, you think he's blessed you? I think so, don't you? Let's sing one more verse of this, and Let's leave the altar open just a moment. If God's dealing with you, won't you come on? Let's talk to God about it, would you? As he sings, come
on. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow.
If you know it, sing it with it.
Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him.
Only trust him.
Only trust him now. He will save you.
He will save you.
He will save you now.
So I'll bow our heads. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. I trust you'll be remembering my wife now on Tuesday morning. And I trust that you'll be back on Wednesday night. Try to bring somebody with you. Soul winning this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock, if you can help us. I'm not sure if I'll be there or not. A lot of it depends on how my wife is feeling. I'm sure you understand that. Hey, my wife comes before this church, friends. I want you to know that. That's the way God made it. She's number two underneath the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and I pray that you'll take this message, simple message, and I pray that you help us never to forget it. Help us to remember the birds. Help us to remember the burnt offering. Help us to remember the blessing of the Lord. And help us to remember the bow that's in the clouds to remind us that you keep your promises. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. You pray for us. God willing, we'll see you Wednesday night. Speak to each other on your way out, okay?